This Christmas, let's share the greatest gift ever given, Jesus Christ. Compassion International invites your church to join the Giving Tree Project, helping children in poverty overcome barriers and discover hope in Christ. With a Giving Tree kit, your congregation can provide life-changing resources like food, clean water, and sustainable income to families in need. Visit compassion.com/familygoals today to order your free church kit and make this Christmas a season of hope and transformation. That's compassion.com/familygoals. Be the difference this Christmas. Welcome to the Family Goals Podcast with Davey Pollock and Pastor Jay. Today we're talking about five practices to raise kids that love and follow Jesus.
Five?
Five.
That's a lot. Let's
and
go.
We're going to throw in some more. All right, so how are things going with the Pollock family? Any family updates? How's football going? You still coaching football?
Oh, yeah. Everything's solid. No complaints.
Is Nicholas playing again?
Yeah, he's back. Back playing again. Back healthy.
How's he doing?
Thank goodness. Solid. He's doing good. He likes football. I never thought I'd see the day that Nicholas was, like, really aggressive and really physical. Like, that's a weird thing in the Pollock household.
Is he?
Yes. Yeah. It's very strange.
Like, you got any highlights? Any, like, him, like,
I'm not
pancaking
showing highlights,
somebody?
No. I mean, he's done well, but I'm not the highlight parent. I'm not that guy.
You're not showing me.
No, but I tell you what, I have done, you know, one thing that's, and I don't think I've told you this, but one thing that I've really tried to work on, so, and this might be a whole nother topic for another day, but, you know, I realized with my parenting that, you know, I've been a good dad, but definitely when it comes to, like, building the self-esteem type of deal, I don't think I've been as good as I needed to be, and I think I've definitely made an adjustment recently to be better at it, because... Like my number one goal was not to raise like a super confident athlete. That just wasn't my goal. My goal was to raise great, kind kids, like loving kids, compassionate kids. Like, and so like Nicholas really, he doesn't have a ton of confidence. And I think I could have done a better job as a parent instilling that. So for the last month, 2 months, like every day I'm instilling it. Like I'm doing a really good job I'm just texting him like,
positive
building him. I'm trying to build up his confidence. I think Nicholas is past the point. I think like I was worried about raising arrogant little buttholes. You know what I'm saying? Like arrogant kids that looked at people the wrong way, that thought their stuff didn't stink. I was more concerned about, we did not want that. Like I'm not worried about that with Nicholas. We can have a different conversation with Leah probably in that area. But like Nicholas.
Did your parents raise an arrogant little butthole?
Yes. Have you met me? I mean, that's the whole point, right? Like
we tend to overcorrect. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like whatever our parents did or whatever we were like, we're trying to do the opposite.
Yeah, but I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with the job we did. But like my mission has been to build them up and just to let them know that like, I was just texting me like, God's got such great plans for you, dude. Like you have so many gifts, you know, so many talents. I'm thankful to be your dad, you know, just constantly just letting him know, you know, how much we love him, how much we appreciate him and how great he is. And because I don't think he thinks of himself as anything special, which he should think of himself as something special, you know? And I still text Leah those things too as well. Not as much because Leah's got more of her daddy in her and a little bit more natural confidence / arrogance. She's good. So, but now, no, it's just,
she playing sports right now? What's Lee up to?
She's playing basketball. Okay. She's playing basketball. So, but we've, you know, like, I think that's our duty as a parent. And one of the things that I'm learning as a parent is like some of the things that I didn't do a good enough job while I still have them, I want to like pour into those areas and maybe make some tweaks, you know? And so the good thing is they're still with us and we still got them for several more years that we can keep trying to hopefully fill some of those gaps that maybe I didn't do a good job with.
How's Lindsay doing?
The best. The greatest.
She's still training?
Yeah, she's just great.
She's healthy. I'm a little concerned that she's not healthy.
What do you mean she's not healthy?
Like, is she eating right? Is she exercising?
She's phenomenal. Use your words. She's good. You know, one thing we started doing is walking. You know, we try to walk as much as we can during the week, and that's fantastic. Just catching up and talking and stuff. But no, she's good. Are you taking shots at my wife? Is that what you're doing over there?
No, I'm being facetious. Okay. She is the healthiest in person.
She's a health nut.
She eats right. She's a health exercises. Freak. So on the, I thought about doing something different on the podcast today. So there's a pastor named Josh Howerton on Instagram. I've recently started following him on Instagram, and he's the pastor of Lake Point Church in Texas. And I knew
Texas.
I knew his predecessor, Steve Stroop, and so he's a younger guy. And he had a good post that I thought we could just talk about. And
okay.
So it's five practices to raise kids that love and follow Jesus.
Okay.
So these are five things he and his wife say, if you do these things, that'll help your kids love and follow Jesus. So I thought they were pretty good. Some of them we've talked about before. Some of them are new. So the first one is your faith doesn't have to be perfect, but it must be real. What are your thoughts on that?
100. I think we've got to show that. That's why we've got to show them some of the bad too, and show them some of the struggles that we have. Like, I think some parents shield and take that away from kids, but I think you're taking away opportunities to teach them and show them what it looks like to maybe struggle in a season well, mm-hmm. to struggle what you're going through. But I 100%, I'm on board with that. I think it's good. I think kids are always sponges. They're always soaking it up, whether it's good, right, wrong, bad, or indifferent. So I think showing them is a huge part of it.
Yeah, and we always talk about more as caught than taught, mm-hmm. Because they're always watching us. Our kids are always watching us. They see everything. And so one of the things, Josh Frazier said this in staff meeting yesterday, but he was saying that when his daughter Alexis came into the living room yesterday morning, she caught him reading his Bible and having his quiet time. And then she came over and sat with him and, like, what are you reading? And he was able to share the Bible verse with her. And it just reminded me, I need to do more of that, because now that Jesse's driving to school, we don't have that
time
morning
together.
Time. And so I'm down in the basement in my office having a quiet time, but she's not seeing that. And I'm missing that morning time, or I'm sleeping later. And so it's like, you know what? I need to wake up. I need to start having my quiet time in the living room again. And so this morning, quiet time in the living room, she saw me. We had that interaction. And it's a small little simple thing.
Yeah. But I think there's, you want to catch them. You also want them to catch you doing all the good things too, right? Mm-hmm. The good and the bad.
Yeah.
Like, I think you want to show them how to struggle and how to repent and how to pray through things, but you also want to show them the healthy things too, and how to treat your bride is huge, mm-hmm. right? In the marriage, like that's how they're going to think you're supposed to be treated or treat other people, right? So I think the
faith is real, that they see us in church. Are we authentically worshiping? Are we just going through the motions? You know, are we in small group? Are we studying? Are we sharing our faith? And that they catch you doing those things. I remember Joel and I, we'd go play basketball, like pick up basketball when he was in high school, or even in middle school, out of the church. And then we'd end up sharing our faith with, you know, people we're playing basketball with. So it's like, it's not something I'm doing it for him to see it, but he just ends up seeing me doing it.
Yeah.
So faith doesn't have to be perfect, but it must be real. The second thing, I thought this was interesting, pull your kids up into your world. Instead of getting into your kids' world, which is full of foolishness and rebellion, he quotes, he references Proverbs 22:14, our job is to pull them up into our world. And the example that he gave was when his dad was a pastor of a church and he went to lunch with the staff team, he would invite his son to go along. And he would just go and learn and listen and be around other godly men and women. And so he says, surround your children with godly influences and wisdom by involving them in your life, in your community.
Yeah, I'm for that. I don't think they need to live in my world, but I'm fine with them being in my world. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with them seeing some day-to-day interactions and some things I want to keep from them and I don't want them to see. Now, the older they get, the less that becomes.
What are you trying to keep from them?
Well, I think back in the day, they don't need to be around certain conversations. They don't need to hear certain things. Like, it's not going to matter. It's over their head. It doesn't, you know, but I think the older they get, the more, you know, like Nicholas talking about, Nicholas and Leah had to fill out their job description things of, like, how much education did your parents get? And thinking about, oh, well, what do I want? Like, what degree do I want to get? You know, Nicholas is a sophomore now. And then, so asking questions about, you know, how much do they make doing this? And so now you're talking about finances. Like, I have zero desire to teach my kid finances when they're in elementary school, when they're in middle school. I don't. Like, and again, I think there's other areas that are more important to me at that time. And but that now when Nicholas is driving and you have a budget, like to me, that's a time to start living in the world of that. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it's not always appropriate. And, you know, some conversations at work when you're around people, other people, too, that they don't have kids, they don't have the best conversations and stuff. So I do some things. Yes. But I do, just like you said, with the last one is I do want to see my kids. I want them to see me being generous. Mm-hmm. I want them to see me giving money away, giving time away, loving on people. Like those are things that are 100%, you know, in my control, and I want them to be in my world to notice so they become generous. Like mm-hmm. if they see me being generous to people and seeing people's needs and coming in and trying to meet them and come beside people that have had tragedy in their life and bad things happen, and this is what it looks like, I think they got a great chance to do it to other people, right? To mm-hmm. Because they've seen it. They've seen us model what that compassion or generosity or other stuff look like.
Yeah, you shared before about taking Nicholas with you on game day. Like he's been in 28 college campuses. And so you kind of pulled him up into your world and you got to expose him to...
And it wasn't always good, by the way, because when you're in front of LSU fans on game day and they're chanting FU Bama... Like, that wasn't the best thing for an 8-year-old to experience, right? Like,
with that. Yeah, LSU fans are the worst.
We're like, hey, Nicholas, let's take this back to the office, buddy. Like, hey, we're gonna go back in the office. All right, sure.
Thanks. You're like, got the earmuffs.
Earmuffs. Put them on.
The headphones, silencing headphones. But I think surrounding with godly people, like I think you'd mentioned this before, but you have godly men in our church who they might be texting Nicholas or they might be encouraging Nicholas, or you have other people speaking truth into his life other than
you and mom. I just don't think it works otherwise. I think mom and dad are crazy. You know, mom and dad are just, you know what I'm saying? Like they're always doing
it's crazy.
This.
Like you might say something over and over again, but then when they hear it from someone else, it's like, oh, so-and-so was saying this.
Like, and by the way, that's okay. Like that's all right. Yeah. And by the way, we did the same thing to our parents.
Yeah.
We did the same exact thing. But we got Brother Jeff. Like Nicholas has Brother Jeff. Jeff Whitaker meets with him once a week and they go over the scripture passages they've read throughout the week and they go through books and they do different things. And when Brother Jeff says something, it matters. And Brother Jeff is reinforcing the same thing that some of my other friends are going to talk about in front of him with Drew Pilgrim and other guys, like that 100%. And here's another thing too. And here's a challenge for all you dads and moms. Like, there's only one way that you get that influence on kids. You've got to get in their world. Like, and how do you get in a kid's world? You freaking play with them. That's it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all you have to do is show them attention, care about them, say things to them. I'm not saying sit there and have a conversation with an 8-year-old, an in-depth conversation. But if you go slap them or tickle them or say something to them about their hat, like consistently, you're in their world, man. Like you all of a sudden now are someone they look up to and have the right to speak to them. Mm-hmm. Like it's that simple and it's that cool, man. I think it's awesome, but I've told my men in my small group all the time, I'm like, dude, if y'all will just pay my kids attention and the adults that my kids talk about in my life is not the wisest people. It's the one it's the ones that have taken time to get in their world. Mm-hmm. Seriously. It's that simple. It's not the wisest people in the world. I'm not saying that they know scripture inside and out and they're teaching them about theology, but those suckers, when they see them, they smile, they laugh, they ask them about their day and they get in their world. And then they have the right man to do so many things for them. But if you don't take that time and you're too stuck on you, and you don't want to have maybe a little uncomfortability for you getting in their world, I think you'll lose so much of the influence you could have.
Well, that's a biblical principle, no impact without contact. So you're going to have to come in contact with someone in order to impact them.
I mean, no salt, impact without salt, contact. I like
salt
that.
Of the earth. Like the salt.
Loses its saltiness.
Yeah, if you don't get the salt out of the salt shaker, like it's
shake it like a salt shaker. What? That just went off the rails. Every 90s kid is like, yep, I know exactly what that means.
This is past my time.
Yes, sorry, my bad. My bad.
No, but you have to, no impact without contact. So if you're not, it's all about relationships.
Yeah.
But I think that's an interesting thought of how can I impact my friends' kids?
I don't know that many people are thinking about that, because when you're thinking about yourself, you're thinking about, like, let's say when you go to a small group, you're not thinking about how can so and so's kid's going to be there, and how can I minister them, how can I encourage them, how can I speak truth into them. But that's a great thought.
I mean, you'll never have the opportunity unless you've built some form of relationship that literally mm-hmm. takes zero time.
Yeah,
it takes when you see them just making fun of their hair, making fun of their clothes, like just joking with them a little bit. So mm-hmm. I think about that all the time, because I want to be positive influences for my friends' friends, and also want to be a sounding board for them. I lead a bunch of them in small group. I'm like, listen, you can tell me things you can't tell your parents. Now, I'm going to tell your parents if it's something that's harming you. I'm not keeping this from your parents, but I want you to feel comfortable. You can come to me at any point with anything, and I'm not going to judge you, and it's okay. Like, you're fine. It's a safe place that you might need.
Yeah, one of the things that I try to train our staff in is informal ministry time. So formal ministry time would be
during church.
Church on Sunday, small group. But how much time are you getting with them outside of the formal time where you're just hanging out? They think you're hanging out, but you're really having conversations on purpose. You're trying to push them towards Jesus. You're trying to help them grow. And you mentioned that, like asking the kid about his tattoo or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're trying to encourage them. All right, number three thing that Josh Howerton says is choose your kids' friends. And we've mentioned this before on the podcast. Show me your kids' friends, and I'll show you your kids' future. And then he says, remember, you're not your kids' buddy. You're their parent. It's your job to guide them, including the friends that they hang out with. And he says, you have the right and the authority to say no to friends who are bad influence and encourage friendships to those who are good influence.
And the earlier you start, the better. I would start this as young as possible, because a lot of friendships linger for forever. And I don't think you want to start friendships with kids that you say, or parents, because the parents are a great indicator that
the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell who's walking with faith, like mm-hmm. strong faith, and who is trying to teach different things and talk different ways and be different. And so I think that's huge. And I think that start early. And then I think you can teach your kids to do it. And I've said this before, but we got new listeners all the time. Like, I think learning how to teach your kids how to see that in a way that they don't know that. And how do I do that? Asking questions. Like in the car, hey, who's your wisest friend? Hey, who's your friend that's just a knucklehead? Like, who's mm-hmm. the friend that, like, always wants attention, is going to say stupid things off the wall? Who's the friend that's mm-hmm. got your back? Like, they got your back like a shirt. I mean, they are whatever you do, like, they got your back. They're just loyal. They're going to be your dude. They're going to roll with you. They're going to be your homegirl. They're going to roll with you. And I think we're teaching them that a little bit by asking them questions, because they're just thinking. But when they think, they have to answer the question. Then you've put in their head a little bit like, ooh, okay, this girl's got mm-hmm. my back. You know, this dude's got my back. So I think start with them when they're young, ask them questions. But yes, that's 100%. We know that. And you have to be purposeful, and you have to hurt people's feelings sometimes, and you have to be very much okay with that, which a lot of people are not.
I think, too, you have to get around your kids' friends to know the kind of people that they are.
That's a great point.
So there's a funny story with Jennifer. So Jennifer, when Jolyn was in middle school, she showed up for lunch. She went to meet Jolyn for lunch. And maybe it was elementary school. Middle school sounds a little old, but maybe it was middle school. Here comes mom showing up for lunch, you know. But
hey, babe.
She ended up meeting this kid named Landon Osborne. I don't know if you ever, you know Landon? He's one of Jolyn's best friends. Mm-hmm. But Landon, he comes from a strong Christian family. His dad was a student pastor at Mount Zion Baptist Church. Jennifer had never met Landon, but the way he was talking, the way he was holding himself and carrying on the conversation and the things that he was talking about, Jennifer's like, this kid needs to be friends with Jolyn. So it's like, hey, Landon, you're coming to our house.
Come on over, Landon.
You're spending the night.
You're allowed to come over as much as you want, buddy.
Yeah. So anyway, he became a good friend with Jolyn. But Jennifer recognized it just by going to lunch. You know, going to lunch at the elementary school or the middle school, whatever it was, getting around Jolyn, meeting some of his friends. Hey, that's the kind of kid you need to be spending time with. And there may be some other kids.
That's cool. Like,
those aren't the kids we're going to spend the night at their house.
And I got two things in that direction. Don't be a Pharisaical parent, though, and don't raise Pharisaical kids. So don't point to other kids and say, they're not good kids. You shouldn't be hanging out with them. I don't think that's right either. Mm-hmm. Like, now, do I do that? Yes, in a different way, though. Like, okay, well, that, sure, they might be mean, and they might have some of those behaviors. Just remember, you got some of those, too. You know, like, we don't always do the right thing, either. And we've got to love everybody. But, I mean, I also don't try to point to other kids and say, they're not good kids. You know, they're not doing this. Because if you want to go down the good terms, like, we're, none of us are good. We're all evil. So, I think that's something that's...
Now, but what do you do, though, if there's a... One of your kids has a friend that's a super bad influence, and you're like, I really don't want them spending time with them. How do you keep that from happening?
Well, I think, again, I'm trying to make them understand, like, we're not perfect and we're not great either. Like, we're not way better than somebody. I just don't want them to think they're better than mm-hmm. people. But 100%, we have rules that, like, the easiest way for us to get around a lot of the things that people want to get around is we don't know their parents, buddy. Like, baby yeah. girl, I don't know their parents. Like, and if as long as I don't know their parents, you're not going to their house. So I get it. Oh, they might be awesome. You might like being around them. Unless I get to know their parents, it doesn't really matter. And we're not gonna hang out with people that we don't know personally. And we've only spent the night at a couple people's houses. That's not happening regardless. So
I think but once your kids start driving, you kind of don't have control. Like say Nicholas is going and hanging out at someone's house, or maybe they're just meeting. I don't know where kids meet.
Restaurants.
We used to meet up at Gulfport Lake.
Yeah. Restaurants.
But yeah, there's a kid vaping, there's a kid drinking, there's a kid doing things that, and he's has an influence on one of your kids' life, and you don't want him around that kid. How do you keep him from spending time with him?
Yeah, we haven't had a lot of experience with that yet, so I'm definitely not an expert on that. But I think you definitely it's definitely something that I think we would bring up. We would have mm-hmm. to bring up, like, what kind of decisions are we making? And here's a good example. And I think everybody can learn from this. This was one of the best small group things we've ever had in our lives. Okay. This was a couple Sundays ago, and we met and we talked about after parties for homecoming. And we talked about what we were willing to let our kids go to and what some of the room was and some of the room wasn't. And it was cool because these were adult conversations, kind of like when we talked about, you know, judging, like mm-hmm. these were adult conversations meant to help. We knew that one of the after parties was going to have alcohol. Okay.
You were even saying that some parents allow their kids.
Some parents allow it to happen at their house so they can uh-huh. control it. And they say that's responsible. It's against the law. It's not responsible. You shouldn't have alcohol at your house with underage kids. That's a problem. I mean, that's something we can address that later. But if you know there's going to be alcohol there and you let your kid go to the after party, I would argue, even if your kid has strong convictions at 15, 16 years old, you're putting them in a position to fail. You're not putting them in a position to succeed, because they're going to have to make decisions now in front of people that they care about that is going to be hard, as opposed to, I have the party, I'm just going to have people over at my house. Like, just, and yeah. That's how I get around it. Like,
that's how we got around it. We try
come to my
make,
crib.
We make our house the place to be.
Yeah, come to our house. Yeah. Everybody's invited. And by the way, again, this is my rule, okay? Because how do you live in the world, but not of the world, mm-hmm. right? Because that's always going to be something we're going to talk about. If you have friends, and some of those friends aren't the greatest influence. Nicholas has some of those friends that aren't the greatest influence. They're not horrible kids, but they're not the greatest influence. Well, again, as long as there's more light than there is darkness, and there's an overpowering, I'm good with it. As long as Nicholas has a couple of his buddies that I know are strong, we can have one that isn't the strongest that we can influence and try to make better and try to spend time with them and overcome. We can't have three of them and one of us, because that's going to win. I think the darkness will win. And again, I'm not saying kids are dark. I'm just saying the other, you're having more of a tendency to bend your who you are and qualities when you're the only one. When you're the only one saying no, it's really hard. So we try to do it at our house.
You want them to have the leverage. You want them to be in a position of strength. Because you mention this all the time, but when you're on a football team or a basketball team, you're around, it's not like you're hanging out at the church youth group. And not that every kid at the church youth group's great, but when you're around, when you're in those athletic environments, there's going to be kids that aren't Christians, that are worldly, that, you know,
are dropping F-bombs all the time in high school.
Dropping F-bombs. They're going to be exposing your kids to certain music or certain videos.
Yep.
Hey, look at this. Or or a joke or something. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So
which is okay, but
real life.
We got to address one more thing on there, though, because I wrote it down when you said it. You're not your kid's friend.
Yeah.
That's hard for people to understand, and it's hard for people, I think, to swallow. You're not their friend. Like, there might be a time when you're their friend. It's not when they're in your household. Like, you are their authority figure, and it's not mommy is the bad guy and your bad girl and you're the bad guy. Like, it's a team.
Yeah, united front.
It's a united front, and we're not your friends. I love you, but you're my daughter. I love you, but you're my son. Like, we're not friends right now. And I'm not trying to be friends, because friends don't offer discipline. Friends don't offer a lot of hard things. Like, we're not equals. I am the parent. I set the standard. I make the rules. You are the kid. You follow the rules. You don't make the rules, right? So I wrote that down because I didn't want to skip it, because that's a big deal that I see a lot of people. They want to be their kids' friends. We're not your friend. We love you and we respect you, but like, there is a difference between friendships and what me and you are.
Mm-hmm. Sure. That's a powerful point. And I would say to a parent out there, if you didn't get anything else out of this,
that might be the best.
That's like the best thing. All right. Number four, he says, whoever tells the best stories wins the hearts of the kids.
I like that.
And he says,
I would never have had that on my list.
Yeah.
And that's never something I would have thought about. That's the first one on the list that I felt like was really original.
Yeah, so this is what he says. He said, the world is constantly telling your kids stories through the content they consume, and often these are godless stories that glamorize unrighteousness. What they do, he says, four times a week, they have dinner together, and they intentionally tell stories of God's power and answer prayers. And then he quotes a Bible verse, Psalm 145, verse 4, let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts.
But do you know what I'm going to say? Do you remember? Mm-mm. Now, again, I love what he said, and I love stories, and I love different ways to paint pictures. And obviously, Jesus taught like that for a reason. It's not, the Bible is not stories. The Bible are accounts. Like, I will die on this hill, and I argue with so many people about this. Stories in my head mean fairy tale princesses and fairy tales and like stories, like made up. The Bible is accounts. It is accounts of what happened. It is a live account of what actually happened. It is not a story. Like, that's just how you're identifying
stories.
Can you tell that bothers me? Like, my wife's like, leave it alone, baby. I'm like, no, it's an account. It's not a story. It's not made up. Like,
it's not a fairy tale.
So I tell you accounts of what happened in the Bible. But I think to go further with that, I think just stories, period. Like, jokes. Stories, like, fun needs to be a big part of parenting. And fun is an area that, as I've gotten older, it's been harder to accomplish.
Yeah.
And it is a big, and that might be number five on the list, but
it's not number five, but I wrote it down because I'm going to ask you after we're done with this, is what else would you add to the list? And that was one of the things I would add, is making life fun. And because the kids want to have fun. Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. But some of my favorite memories, like Billy Bryce is a good friend of ours, Chase Bryce's dad, and he was a great storyteller, and he is hilarious.
Russ Tanner, same thing.
So Russ Tanner.
Unbelievable storyteller.
Like, I remember some of his stories, but I know Jolyn probably remembers a lot of his stories too. And maybe they have no spiritual value to them, but they're funny.
They're funny.
And they're hilarious. And you know, and you have some great stories of, like, Russ, some of the roommate stories.
Me and Russ roommate stories are legendary.
But the kids remember the stories. And I think being quick to tell stories of, hey, today at Good News Club, I had the opportunity, like Jennifer telling us at dinner, hey, I led four kids to Christ today at Good News Club. Well, that's a great, tell us more.
Yeah.
or hey, this, you wouldn't believe this, but these girls had never seen a Bible before, and they were asking us what a Bible is. It's like, hey, I want to give them a Bible. You know, good stories, God stories, life-changing stories.
Yep.
And I think that's why we love baptisms at church, because it's a story. It's a story of someone's life who's been changed for all eternity. Are you a good storyteller? You like to tell stories?
I'm solid. I'm not as good as Russ Tanner. Russ Tanner's the best. I mean, he's so good. Some people have that knack and that gift. Uh-huh. And I love it because I've been around Russ for so many years now, 23 plus years. And the stories change and evolve and get better and better, which is awesome. I love that. It's outstanding. But no, I mean,
whenever Foxworthy is a good story. Foxworthy is
unbelievable. But when you're around people like that and you're around a campfire, you're with your kids and stuff, and you're always like, oh, Russ, tell the story. You know, like, because you know it's fun. Yeah. The way people tell stories is awesome. Like, when you can slow it down and take a pause, and like, there's an art to it for sure. So I think it's good, but it's I'm okay. I'm not elite. I'm definitely not an elite storyteller.
That's something to think about. Like heading into a dinner, I've never thought about this ahead of time. Like, hey, what's a good story I could share with the kids today? What's something that happened this week that I want them to know about? Like, this is God moving. Like, God is moving. God is working. God is opening doors. So storytelling. The last thing he says, number five, is to apologize to your kids.
When you mess up.
When you get it wrong. Ask for their forgiveness. Model repentance. Own up to mistakes.
Yeah. I think that's... It's kind of like number one to me. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, living out
being
your
real,
faith. Yeah, it's living out your faith, real, yeah. Being real. It's kind of like number two, you know, bringing them along with you, because that's, you know, showing them that you're human, showing them that you're going to continue to mess up. I think our kids naturally, especially some of us dads, they think you're superheroes, you know, and they think you're above so many things when you got to sometimes point out like, nah, we're not. And I'm not great at that. I'm not great at apologizing. It's not one of my strengths by any stretch. And I usually like to argue until I'm proven otherwise, which could be lengthy because I'm also stubborn. But I definitely think it's a good thing. Like, my kids have definitely seen me do it with my wife. And I've had to apologize for things that I've said or things that I've done along the way that I wish I didn't have to, but 100%.
Yeah, I think if you get angry, lose your cool, you could take that bad situation and turn into a real positive by saying, hey, I'm sorry. I apologize. I got angry. I got upset. It's not that big a deal.
I shouldn't talk to you like that. Yeah. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't. Mm-hmm. It's not okay. You know, let's say that. It's not okay. I shouldn't have said that. Mm-hmm. And I was wrong. And then I would also throw in there, when you do this, don't be like me as much and don't be like others and your younger self. You don't say, I'm sorry, but... You don't say, I'm sorry, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done it. You know, like,
leave it at that.
I don't need to justify it. Like, I don't need to, because you reacted this way, I did this. Well, no, it doesn't matter how
they
react.
It's not a real apology.
I screwed it up, and I own, and I tell my kids this all the time in football. I tell them this, I bet you I tell at least one kid this every day. And I'm like, if y'all would just listen to say, my bad. Like, yes, sir, my bad. And I said, not just here will it benefit you. I said, but you know how much this will benefit with your mom and dad? I was like, when you do something and they're yelling at you and they're in your face or whatever, and you go, hey, mom, my bad. I'm sorry. You know what she's going to do? She's like, what? Okay. I was like, you end it. Like, it's over. That's all you have to, that's literally all you have to be able to do is just say, I'm sorry, my bad. And there's not much people can say. Yeah. And so, is it easy? No. Is it important? 100%.
Yeah. So let me, I'm going to recap the five.
So we can think about what we would add.
So you can be thinking about what you would add.
See, don't put me on the spot, man. I don't like that.
That's why I'm giving you some time. I'm giving you some time.
I mean, I didn't know anything about this lesson beforehand, so it really doesn't matter about putting me on the spot either.
Well, this is the lesson I asked you. What do you want to talk about? I gave you three options.
You gave me three options. I picked it, but you didn't tell me one thing that was in any part of the lesson, but it was fantastic.
I know you like coming in cold.
Yeah, you did a good job. So right, go through them again.
So five practices to raise kids that love and follow Jesus. Number one, your faith doesn't have to be perfect, but it must be real. Number two, pull your kids up into your world. Number three, choose your kids' friends. And we mentioned that you're not your kid's buddy. You're the parent. Number four, whoever tells the best stories wins the hearts of the kids. Number five, apologize to your kids when you get it wrong. So what else would you add to the list?
I don't know how I would phrase it, but fun is one of the ones that I would like.
Making life fun.
Make memories.
Make memories.
Yeah. Like making memories, you know, things that your family do. Like one of the things we do is we're going to go to every NBA arena as a family. Like we all love basketball. So we've been to like six or seven, I think.
And how many are there? Like 32? 30.
30. And so like we're going to make memories and have fun.
I know you took Leah to see Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, like it was freaking awesome.
At Iowa.
Lindsay takes Nicholas every year to a new football stadium, NFL stadium, just her and him.
That's
and
cool.
So like I think make memories, you know, those vacations, making memories, create those moments because they'll always stick with them. Like those moments will stick with them for forever. Another thing I wrote, and this doesn't like, I don't know how I really want to tie it together, but help your kids live their age. That's a big thing for me right now in my life. Mm-hmm. Like it kind of curtails into fun, but like they're where they're at right now and meet them where they're at. Help them live their age, always pointing to the future, always pointing to what we can do, but not focusing on the future. Like we can only live the age we are.
Like enjoy high school while you're in high school.
Correct. Don't talk about college. Yeah. Like don't enjoy middle school where we're at. Don't think about high school. Like don't wish it away. I mean, help them to really be content in every aspect of their life of where they're at so they can live their age and they can have those relationships and let them fail. Let them fail. Like let them fail because failure is going to teach them something they needed to learn. And failure is a part of life. Don't come in and save them. Like, let them fall short in a bunch of areas. The things that are super important to you now, I promise you, as they get older, you're going to be like, screw that. That doesn't even bother me anymore. You know, like, so it's those are a couple things I would add. What about you? You got any?
I had a couple. One, I put make church a priority. And we talk about this a lot at church and on the podcast, that church should be their third place. And so I think making it a priority Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights,
and that goes with one, right?
Fall retreat.
You're not showing them faith if you don't go to church,
right?
Like you're not showing them dedication because that's what it should be. Like sport is not your church, so if you're skipping church every Sunday to do sports, you're wrong. Like you're showing your kids the wrong habits.
So there's this one guy. I've been going to the Monroe campus live. And so there's one of our elders there.
Oh, thanks, bud. You can't come to Oconee campus?
I need to get out to Oconee.
Yeah, don't worry about it. No, just go to Monroe.
But you guys are solid.
Forget y'all. We don't need you.
But there's this one guy. He's never there. And so it started off like he was there the first time he had ever been there when I was there because he always says, I see you on the screen, but I've never been there. And they're like, well, hey, I've been coming every Sunday.
Yeah.
So he was finally there. So now it's kind of come, hey, where's Chad? Well, he had the Sunday I was talking about how church is no longer sacred. Like Sundays are no longer sacred. He's playing travel ball. Their kids are like 8 or 9. So like for 6 or 7 weeks, I'm like, where's Chad?
Where's Chad?
He's at travel ball. And then, so then finally he's like, Chad will see you on October 20th. Like Chad told me to tell you he'll be here October 20th. Like that's like over a month away.
And listen, like everybody gets caught up in their phases of life, but I promise you, you're going to look back if you're doing that with an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, and you're going to regret it because it's not going to change anything about their destiny. It's literally just going to change your habits and what you're showing them on a weekly basis is that sport is more important than God. And I don't think that's the message anybody wants to send to their kids if you're a believer. Like, show up at church, show up in your uniform, miss a game or two. It's okay. Miss a game and then go to the games. Like, baseball means jack crap. Football means jack crap. Basketball means jack crap. It's something we do. It's not who we are. Who we are is showing up to church. That's what Howells are. That's what Pollocks are. Like, we are believers. We believe and we're going to church. Like, as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord, right? Like, that's going to be priority number one. Can we miss church every so often? 100%. It's not going to kill you to miss one service. Like, but when you're starting to miss 2 and 3 a month, like, what are we doing? I mean, what are we showing our kids? And I know it's going to be a sore subject for people, and people aren't going to want to hear that, but like that's what you're showing your kids. I'm not telling them that that's what you're showing them.
Yeah. So, and I have a close enough relationship with Chad that I can call him out and give him a hard time.
Good.
And so I'm
good.
Calling him out, and each Sunday I keep calling him out, and then people are starting to get uncomfortable. And then someone else is like, well, he's having a devotion with the kids before the games on Sunday.
That's church then. I get that from some of my buddies too. We're doing a good job of doing devotion. That's not church. Mm-hmm. That's not going and getting with the body of church and getting praise and worship. And we can put lipstick on whatever pig you want. We can put a Band-Aid on it if you want. But getting your butt to the body, getting your butt to the church, to the physical building, says everything to your kid that you need to say. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more that needs to be said.
Yeah. I may get this quote wrong.
You will.
Probably. But it goes something like this. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But if you truly are a Christian, you'll want to be in church. Like, you know, it's like, why would you be missing church?
Oh.
So here's a second thing I thought you could add to the list. Is go on a mission trip with your family.
Yeah, that's good.
Take your kids on a mission trip. Let them see a third world country. Let them see people in poverty. And I think you're modeling for them. And then the last thing I put is make it fun.
There you go.
You know, tell those good stories. Just tell those life-changing stories. Let them see God moving. And it's just fun. It's fun. It's fun to be a Christian. It's fun to be serving God. It's fun to give our lives to something that matters. It's every time someone crashes the waters of baptism, I get a tear in my eye because I got to play a small part in it. And we're seeing someone's now going to heaven that wasn't, and God allowed us the grace to be a part of it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I think fun is something as a parent that might not come natural to a lot of parents. And the older we get, I think the harder it becomes. And that's something that it's worth praying for. Like, God, help me to see what my kids see and to be a more part of their lives and be more of an influence on them, because it does become more difficult. The older you get more the get off my lawn guy more and more. And it's just,
I think, and having the fun. And yeah, go on the trips and build the memories and all that. But even this morning, you know, Jessie's really into how she looks, like her outfits.
Does that drive you crazy?
No, I've grown to appreciate it. This is kind of funny, though. I said, Jessie, you look cute today. She had her hair braided. And she's like, well, I'm repeating this outfit from like a month ago. I was like, oh, you don't repeat outfits? She's like, no, but I wore this like a month ago. And I was like, well, you know, I repeat outfits
like
every
weekly.
Week. She's like, we know, Dad.
Firmly aware, Paps.
We're firmly aware.
Get it, bud. Yeah, I see it, and it's atrocious. Yeah. Mm. Don't get me started on the appearance and that stuff. But I do it with Leah, because Leah's a little bit more grumpy in the mornings. And just every time I'm like, Leah, don't have a good day. And she's like, have a great day. And I'm like, oh, no. I was like, that's not going to work, Leah. I was like, Leah, don't have a good day. She's like, have a great day. I'm like, bro, I'm going to keep saying this over and over, and I will be right here in your kitchen until you say it. And then she'll be like, have a great day. And I'm just like, so, I mean, just little stuff like, again, just like we talked about, joking with them, messing with them, you know, any kind of love you can throw their direction, they appreciate it. But you did well, sir. You did really well with your answer. I like that question. I like the way it was posed, and I like some of the stuff we got to get to.
Yeah, good stuff.
Occasionally, Pastor Jay will deliver.